Just evening, I want to wait a few minutes in the episode of Pilima. And my desire this evening is that I would just have an overview of this little book, which contains really 25 verses. And also, at the end, we have some application of lessons that we can from this little bit, the epistle of Paul to Philemon. And I'm sure that I'm not going to tell anything that you have never heard, but it is just a reminder that you can, as we go over this, and praise our hearts this evening to grow closer to God, what the Lord has said for us this evening. It is only 25 verses, so I will read that so we get a better understanding of the whole book. So the first 3 verses, we know that it's the introduction that Paul gives. Then the next verses 4 through 7, he describes the character of Philemon. Then verses 8 to 21, about this chapter, and then it's the intercession for Onesimus. And finally, from 22 to 25, is a conclusion of this book. So I will read that very quickly, and it is only 25 verses. Then we go into an overview of this book. So verse 1, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which we have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. But the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your life, because the hearts of the saints have been requested by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul is, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. We appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. But perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, not only as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Then you found me as a partner, receiving him as you would me. But if he has wronged you, they all generally put that on their account. I bear and writing with my own hand, I will prefer not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. First, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord, refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Verse 22, but meanwhile also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. But first, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus greets you, so do not Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. You know, the author of this book is Apostle Paul, and the date of writing would be approximately about AD 60. If you look at the theme of the pray that it would be forgiveness and reconciliation. And you know, the main characters are Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus. Then the other names mentioned are Amphia, Archippus, Epaphras, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. It was written during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. We are not sure whether this was written while he was actually behind bars or he was under house arrest and enjoyed some freedom. We know this is one of the Paul's prisoner epistles, and others being Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. This is one of the most, this is the most intimate letter that he has written to an individual. And so Philemon, if you go into the content of this book, know that Philemon was a slave owner whose home served as the meeting place for a local church. You read that in the initial verses of this book. Philemon probably lived in Colossae, in the Roman province of Asia Minor. He was a convert to Christianity as a result of Paul's ministry, most possibly during the Apostles' Day in Ephesus, as we read in Acts chapter 19, verse 26. Apia was probably his wife, and Archippus may have been his son. Philemon owned a slave in Onesimus. He ran away and had apparently stolen something from his master. Having fled from his master, having fled to Rome, he escaped. The escaped slave providentially came into contact with Paul because while he was in prison. He was hired as a Christian. He became a Christian because he came in contact with Paul in the prison. However, he was very profitable for him because he helped him while he was in prison. Paul was a Christian. Restoration and restitution needed to be done. It was agreed that Philemon, even though this could result in Onesimus' death, should go back to his master. So Paul wrote this letter to his son Philemon, pleading the cause of Onesimus. At the same time, Paul, you know that Paul wrote another letter that is the letter to the Colossians and sent it to Titus. Read that in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 to 9. Given the epistle to Philemon is written not to teach with doctrinal aspect, but Paul will simply give the concept of salvation, substitution, imputation, and redemption in this book. Although these ideas speak of Paul's relationship with Onesimus, they remind us of Christ's relationship with us. We are once slaves to sin, but Christ redeemed us from our awful fate, that is death. Martin Luther said, "We are all the Lord's Onesimus." In this attempt to effect reconciliation, Paul describes the Philemon to whom intimate relationship with Onesimus. We read that when we read this book, we see that in many places, the verses that we read is so intimate and so close relationship that he has with this with Onesimus. We see these several key words throughout the letter. They are very powerful words, like I heart and my own brother. Verse 10, he said, "I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus." Paul describes Onesimus as his child, has called to mind one of the most precious and intimate of human relationships. I reached another strong expression in verse 12 when he said, I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. Verse 16, we see the phrase, a beloved brother. Also, it could hardly be more faithful. Onesimus was his child, his heart, his brother. Those are very intimate words that anyone could use for another person. But an example of true love who seeks true reconciliation between two people. He continues to plead for Onesimus to receive him not only and not as a slave, but as a beloved brother. Paul says in verse 18, but if he has wronged to raise anything, put that on my account. It reminds us of the Good Samaritan's story that it comes to our mind when we read this particular verse. The apostle doesn't say that Onesimus had stolen anything from Philemon, but this verse suggests such a possibility. Paul is willing to accept responsibility for any loss that Philemon might have sustained. Recognizes that restoration should be made. Conversion of Philemon did not cancel his debt to man. Paul tells Philemon to put that on my account. We cannot read this without being reminded of the enormous debt which we have contracted as in it, and of how it was all charged the account of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. He paid the debt in full when he died as our Savior. We are also reminded here Christ's ministry as our advocate. And Satan, the accuser of the brethren, brings charges against us the wrongs we have done. That's what it says in effect, charge to my account. The doctrine of reconciliation beautifully illustrated in this book. Onesimus had been estranged from Philemon because of wrong that he has done. Though the ministry of Paul, for very reason, believed the distance and the enmity were removed. The slave was reconciled with his master. Similarly, we were estranged from God because of our sin. Through the death, the resurrection of Christ, the cause of enmity has been removed and believers are reconciled to God. Letter is a classic of love and courtesy and reconciliation as applicable today as it was when it was written. A few lessons that or applications that we can gather from this letter was lesson number one, we can use our home for God's glory. Verse 2, read to the church that meets in your home. Every church met the homes of believers which was the place for Philemon's church as well. This serves as a reminder to us that our homes can be used for the kingdom of God. We can open our homes for small groups, Bible studies, to break bread and share a meal with others, and for prayer meetings. Secondly, we should pray for one another. Verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers to be there. Paul prayed often for Philemon, and he prayed with thanksgiving to God. Philemon had been such a blessing to Paul that he prayed often and gratefully for him. To continue this example set by Jesus himself and apostles, we should boldly pray for each other as brothers, sisters in Christ, petitioning to God on behalf of one another. Third, of faith is a blessing to others. Verse 7. Perhaps you can think of someone who gave their life Christ. What an encouragement that was to you in your own faith. Or maybe you have appreciated or admired the presence of a fellow Christian in your life that you look up to. The faith we have truly blesses and encourages other believers to walk closely with the Lord. And our faith can also bless unbelievers by being a witness to them and helping them to consider faith and turning to Jesus Christ. Fourth, we can appeal to others in love. Verse 9, I prefer to appeal to you the basis to you. In case I prefer to appeal to you. He very specifically says that I have every right to command you to do this, to do the right thing, he says. And it is much more better to live in love. And Paul's tenderness in dealing with the difficult situation. We are encouraged to love like Jesus. Verse 12, I am sending him
very hard
back to you. Therefore, it spoke of earnestness together how deeply Paul loved others. Paul included in his letter Philemon that Onesimus was now a brother in Christ, no more a slave. And this was for the reason for Philemon to welcome him back with loving arms. This message encourages us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ and to extend that love to all people just as Jesus did. The next one, be part of a community of believers. We see many names in verse 23 and 24. We read of Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. And then we read Mark and Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. So Paul wrote about many brothers and sisters in Christ who he did minister with. Paul shared the gospel and his testimony with many unbelievers. He also was a part of the community of believers. That is what we read. That is what we read. I'm mentioning all these names here. Similarly, it is essential that we maintain a deep connection with other Christians, live with other brothers and sisters. Finally, it is important to bless others. Read in verse 25, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you with your spirit. May we find renewed sight and encouragement for righteous living. Words and lessons from this book. It has relevant wisdom and guidance for believers today. You can read this short 25 verses, find a wealth of God's truth, how to love, forgive others. The issues Paul wrote about are common to human experiences and certainly spoke not only to its original recipient, but also to many, many generations thereafter. So I hope that this more meditation and an overview of the clear book encourages our hearts as we go.